Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. Reshape the life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight. You listen to the Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank you again for joining us tonight. We have a great show lineup for you. As always, we'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Tonight, we welcome substance abuse educator Pamela Weeks on our show. She's joining us tonight to shed light on what many people, whether they know it or not, may struggle with, and what you can do to prevent problems down the road. And what you can do if you actually think you might have a problem. You can give you some good information on what you can do to prevent some of your issues. As always, we want you to make sure that you call in and give us your opinion. Also, our chat room is open. The number to call in is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you doing tonight? I don't think we can hear you, Ms. Parker. We can't hear you, Ms. Parker.
How was your weekend? Sorry, I'm having some technical issues on my end.
That's okay. It was good. How was yours?
It was really, really, really good. I went to the movies. I was telling Chike he'd probably be proud of me.
Okay.
Hung out with some friends yesterday. Yes, I've had a pretty good weekend. Seemed longer than the 2 days, so
yeah,
that's always
yeah,
a good thing.
Yeah, I actually had a really good weekend, too. I'm excited about the show. But we know Chike's on the line. You know, his time is always limited, but it's so important. So, Chike, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you? What's going on, Ms. Parker?
Nothing much. I can't wait to hear what you have to say and what you saw this weekend.
Okay. The first film I saw was Colombiana. I heard you saw that, too.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. Surprisingly good.
Why do you say surprisingly?
Because I'm not normally into that type of movies.
Really?
So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Colombiana stars Zoe Saldana and is loosely based off the story of La Femme Nikita, which is about a young female assassin. You know, someone takes a young female girl and trains her to be an assassin. And that's pretty much what this show is about, this movie was about. But, you know, it's a story of revenge. It was action-packed. It was sexy. It was thrilling. I give it 2 thumbs up, definitely.
Very good
movie. Yeah. And see, Ms. Parker even made it out to the movies, everybody. She gets a gold star for the week. The second film that I saw was Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which is a remake. I saw that movie probably like when I was around 7, the original. It scared me then. You know, me being an adult, it had scary moments in the new one. It still scared me, but I understood more about the story being an adult as opposed to being a child when I saw it for the first time. So if you're into fantasy/horror, this will be a good movie for you to see. I found myself turning my head away from the screen a few times just simply because, you know, anticipating the shock value. So if that's your genre, if you're into it, I highly recommend go see Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It's a miraculous that I made it out to see two movies with, first we had the hurricane, well, first we had the earthquake, then we had hurricane, so I'm here to say I survived.
Did you have any damage in your way?
Just a lot of flooding, not so much anything broken, just a lot of flooding, a lot of detouring, and even now still, there's still a lot of water in a lot of areas, so people are having a hard time getting around. Power is still down in a lot of areas. Glory be to goodness, you know, I didn't have any of that trouble.
Okay, yeah. So what else is going on with the movies?
That's pretty much it. You know, there are a few movies that I mentioned last week to look out for. Looking out for Contagion. I spoke about it with Lawrence Fishburne and Gwyneth Paltrow and Matt Damon. That'll probably be an intense movie to round out the end of the year because it's about viral infection. And I can't stress again, I think that they're telling us, you know, coded information through these movies. So you might want to pay attention to the nuggets of information that they drop to us. Abduction with Taylor Lautner, that's going to be a good action film. Apollo 18, I think, comes out this week. It's science fiction, and it's pretty much based on the last mission to the moon and what, quote, unquote, happened. What else is coming out? That's pretty much it that I have my scope on for right now. There are a few
things. Can I ask you a quick question? Do you think The Help is an appropriate movie for kids?
Well, I know, I think I spoke on this when I reviewed The Help. I think that a lot of our youth of today aren't in touch with our past, especially African American. They're not in touch with the struggles of our people back before the Civil Rights Movement or even during the Civil Rights Movement. I don't think that they're actually being taught that anymore by their parents. I think that they're basically out of touch because they don't know of the struggle. Parents aren't really teaching their children of that past anymore. We're kind of sort of living in the moment. And I think a lot of the youth of today take the freedom that we have for granted because it wasn't always such. You know, we live in a pretty free world as opposed to back then, and we're spoiled to a degree.
Okay. The reason I ask is because – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There was a little girl in the movie theater with us, and you know, everyone was pretty much crying, but when we were walking out, she was really, like, freaking out about the movie. Like, she kept saying, it was sad, and she had, like, a breakdown in the bathroom.
Really?
And she was probably 7 or 8, and she just kept saying, it was sad. Like, she was traumatized by that movie. And I almost started crying again because I felt so bad for her. So I don't know. I just think she may have been a little bit too young. Even though she seems, and obviously for it to affect her that much, she's obviously a mature child. She understands.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she's able to deal with those emotions. Because it was hard for me.
I will go back to saying what I've always said about ratings and movies. Ratings are on movies for a reason. Because of the emotional content in certain movies, I think that they do pretty well with the gauge of the age in which, you know, the mental capacity of the child and what they can handle and what they can't. And I think it's up to the parent. If you're going to take your child to see a movie, something like that, or even past, you know, their age, you know, bracket, I think that it's up to the parent to actually coach the child or teach the child what it is.
I agree.
When I was young, my mother and father never put a limit on what I watched. You know, I was 6 and 7 watching R-rated stuff, but I was with them. And if I had any questions, then they were there to talk to me about it. So I grew up watching movies out of my range, which I think that's why I have an affection for the arts now, and I have an understanding of what directors and writers, what they are doing with, you know, their projects. But, you know, I don't see anything against it, just as long as they're with an adult that's going to be responsible to be with the child to make sure that they understand what they're watching.
Okay. All right, I feel you.
Oh, but with that, I'm going to say no infants in the theater. No infants and no toddlers ever in the theater. Sorry.
Do you have a trivia question for us?
I'm sorry?
You have a trivia question for us?
No, I don't have a trivia question for us this week.
Okay.
I will be back next week, but I am going to preface it with this. Supplies
okay,
are running low.
Actually, we'll
supplies,
be back next
supplies
week.
Are running low. We've been giving away stuff. So if you're going to jump on this bandwagon, you need to jump on it now. We probably have about 3 more weeks.
Okay. Well, next week next week is a holiday, Labor Day, so we won't be live. We'll actually be airing the Donna Ross story. Remember Jesse Ross?
Yep.
Jesse Ross, the young man that's been missing since November 06. We'll be sharing that story, but we'll be brand new the week following on some new shows that I think will be very interesting. So, but Chica,
okay.
We want to thank you again for always your hard work and everything that you do for the show. So thanks.
Not a problem.
Thanks, TK.
Guys, have a good week.
Thanks, okay. You too.
Peace.
Well, the Steve and I show, our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and, of course, music. We want the show to be very interactive, so we definitely want to hear from you.
If you haven't done so, please like us on Facebook. Thanks to everyone who's already done so and been following us on Twitter. The Steve and I Show, SHO. We appreciate your support as always. And each and every Monday, we look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to you participating in the question of the day. So thank you again for your comments and questions and just for supporting us.
Okay. Well, today the question of the day, Ms. Park, I'm curious to hear what you think about this one. Is if your partner received an offer to pose nude in a well-known magazine and was offered $100,000 to do so, how would you react?
I would help him take the clothes off, pose the picture. Do it. I said, do 100? Yeah, 100? Yeah.
It's funny. Most of the people said, you know, do you need a ride?
Right.
When do we start, you know? I personally, and Aaron just said it as I was about to say it, he doesn't think that's enough money. And I had someone else on here say it's not enough money. But, you know, we're living in desperate times.
That's why I was about to say desperate times.
Some people say it's new. They'll take what they can get. Well, we're curious to hear what you have to say, those listening. So make sure that you let us know on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on EOTMradio.com.
Those of you tuning in, you listen to the Steve and I Show here on EOTM Radio. Ms. Parker, what's going on in entertainment news?
You know I missed the VMAs yesterday. Were you able to watch it?
Yeah, I saw a lot of it. I didn't see all of it, but I saw a lot of it. They're actually pretty good, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know, you heard about the big announcement that's been all over the
social
media.
Yes, Beyonce is pregnant. She's with child.
Yeah,
I think it's cute.
Yeah. It's
so congratulations to the B and J on their firstborn together. I don't know, I heard he has a son, but of course that's her first, so congrats to the couple.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was I guess that kinda took over the whole show after no one's really been talking about anything else. I missed the show, so I wasn't able to really, you know, speak on what happened, you know, how the show was, whatever. But I heard that Chris Brown performed and he didn't do so well. Did you see his performance?
Yeah, you know, his performance, he didn't really sing a lot. It was more he was lip-syncing because he was kind of doing a medley of things. But the dancing, and he did these acrobats through the sky, him and some of his dancers, I thought it was on point. But in terms of singing, he didn't sing at all. Like, he didn't even try to sing. You know what I mean? They were just playing his voice. But Adele, she had a strong performance, Adele did.
I just wish she'd stop dressing so frumpy.
Yeah, well, I guess
I love
like,
her, but it's just like, oh, my God, I saw what she wore to the VMA. I was like, no.
Yeah, but she had an amazing performance. Lady Gaga had an amazing performance. She was dressed as some man. But she did like a little monologue before her performance. Who else? Lil Wayne. I thought he did good. You know, Jay-Z and Kanye performed together. Neo performed his song. Who else? You know, they did the tribute to Amy Winehouse. Bruno Mars sang a medley of her song.
Oh, he did? I would have loved to see that. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah, and you can actually go on MTV.com. They have the actual videos on there. Who else performed? Oh, Beyonce performed, of course. That's where she revealed her baby.
What did she sing?
She sang a song of her, it's an up-tempo song off her new album. It's not, I guess it's going to be
a
single.
Is it We Like the Party?
No, it's not that one. It's Love on Top or something. Yeah, Love on Top is what it's called. But she performed that. And but she said at the beginning, you know, I want you all to feel the love that's growing inside of me. And then at the end, when she opened up her jacket and revealed her baby bump.
She said what about what? She said what about what?
In the beginning, she said, you know, she was kind of, you know, welcome ladies and gentlemen, blah, blah, blah. And she said, I want you all to listen about the love that's growing inside of me. And then at the end, she opened her jacket and revealed her baby bump. And she dropped the mic and then opened her jacket and revealed it. Everybody went crazy. Kanye jumped on Jigga. And, you know, everybody was, like, just hype about it. Because, you know, Beyonce's a very private person, as you know. Her and Jay-Z is very private. There was a source, quote-unquote source, that said that with this news, she just couldn't hold back. You know, she couldn't hold back because she was very excited about it. So, congratulations to them.
Yeah, congrats to them for sure. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's really great. I don't want to forget about the hurricane and earthquake that happened last week. You know, anyone who lost anything, I know that there are several lives lost. You know, condolences to those families.
Anyone
who had their properties and homes damaged, you know, you're in our thoughts and prayers. You know, we had a really horrible weather week last week, so keeping those people in our thoughts and prayers for sure.
Exactly.
Your family okay?
Yeah, my family, you know, well, you know, they had the earthquake early last week, and my great-aunt, her home was actually had, you know, extreme damage to it. Ironically, she had earthquake insurance, which people don't usually get in Virginia because you don't have earthquake there, but she had it. And then with the hurricane, it just took the power out of my family, you know, my mom and, you know, most people in that area. It took out their power for a couple of days, but they got it back last night. So everyone was okay.
You said your aunt's house was damaged?
Yeah, my great aunt in the earthquake.
Okay.
It knocked a lot of the bricks off the back of the house and knocked the bricks off the front. And she was actually in the house when it happened, but she didn't get hurt, you know, so that was
okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad that everything worked out okay with your family. I tried to text my sister, but I haven't heard from her. But she's in Philly, the Philly area, and I heard that they had some flooding, but nothing major that way. Because one of our mutual friends, he's from Philly, he said his family just had a little bit of flooding in the streets, but nothing major. So,
okay.
Yeah, I talked to my sister-in-law in North Carolina. She lives in Durham, they live in Dorman. Nothing was really damaged there. So, yeah. That is about it in the team, unless you can think about anything else. I know that the Eddie Long story is still going strong. I mentioned that last week. but two of the boys are actually speaking. They're going against their settlement agreement.
Yeah.
And they're writing a book. So now, according to the agreement, Eddie Long could sue them to get all of his money back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, I don't know. but, you know, they're saying that it was never about the money, and I kind of always thought that too. So, anyways, we'll see how everything plays out.
Yeah, I just pray for those guys because, you know, everyone involved, it's just a crazy situation. It's like it's never ending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we have Aaron on the line. Aaron, how you doing tonight?
I am doing great, Stephen. Miss Parker,
how are you, Aaron? Happy belated.
Thank you, Miss Parker. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you all.
Aaron, we know you live in D.C., Maryland area. Did you all have a lot of damage up there where you live?
Yes. Actually, my job was actually closed because of lack of power. So,
okay.
no, no work today for me, man. So yeah, it was bad. A lot of trees fell on power lines, flooding, things of that nature. Yeah.
Wow.
It is what it is. But actually,
well, we're glad you're safe.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm actually kind of one of those people that kind of feel like it was kind of overhyped. You know, I just
They downgraded the storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with those things, though, you can never be. It's rather to be safe than sorry. You know.
Oh yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
Especially what happened with Katrina, people didn't take it that seriously, and they didn't even think it was going to be as strong as it. With weather, you can't really predict, so they kind of have to overdo it to get people's attention, I think.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Yeah. So I actually had it was fun with the earthquake earlier this week. Now that was fun.
He said it was fun.
I said
it was
fun.
Come on.
I don't think it's that big of a deal either, Aaron, but I guess people who had never experienced an earthquake before, they were kind of...
You're from the West Coast. He's used to it. We don't get this action out here.
Right.
But Aaron, even Steven, he was all like, earthquake.
Right.
He was kind of excited.
Thomas Parker was the first thing you grabbed during an earthquake.
My flat screen TV.
I know that's right.
Yes.
I mean, lying. I would have grabbed it too.
Okay. It was like one more shake away from falling on the ground. Real quick. But really quickly, I also want to mention, you know, happy birthday to the late great Michael Jackson.
Today's his birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. And also, I wanted to send a shout out to all the Aaliyah fans. You know, this was the 10th year of her death. It was actually on my birthday, August 25th. So,
yeah.
Aaliyah, we love you. You know, you're still in our thoughts and prayers and everything. So, I just wanted to mention that. Now, let's get down to business with sports. Y'all, Michael Vick just signed a 6-year $100 million contract with the Eagles.
Wow.
How much?
$100 million.
Wow, now that's the comeback of the century.
Right.
Now,
right.
Aaron, there was some controversy. I can't remember who it was, but they changed his skin color to white on a publication, and there was a lot of controversy. Did you hear about that?
They changed whose skin color? Michael Vick?
Michael Vick, yeah, they changed it.
There was an article called "What if Michael Vick was white?" and it was written in the perspective of what if he had been a white man and did the exact same thing, what would have happened? So the article apparently they took a picture of him and then just changed his skin color. I think it was just meant to really get attention for the article.
Wow. Yeah. Well. I mean, still, but this just shows you, Michael Vick was given a second chance. He has, and dude has stepped up. I mean, come on.
He made good on the chance.
A year ago, think about it. People would have never thought a year ago that Michael Vick would have been able to get a contract with any team.
Mm-hmm.
People just thought that Vick would be like a second-string quarterback, third-string quarterback. Making like the bare minimum salary on a lousy team. This man is on a Super Bowl contending team, starting quarterback, all pro, $100 million man. $40 million of it is actually guaranteed money. $40 million of the $100 million is guaranteed off the top. Plus, he re-signed with Nike. Nike re-signed him. So,
that's good.
Michael Vick is back, y'all. Michael Vick is back.
I will say I do like the new Vick better than the old Vick. So I'm really
more humble.
He's changed.
More
and
y'all,
he definitely see the change. So
absolutely. And I am a firm believer that things happen in life for a reason. I think that was meant to happen. I think Michael Vick was going down
the wrong path.
Slippery slope. Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
And I agree.
And this was one of those moments in life that either you learn from and do better, or you just keep going down that wrong path. And
I agree.
He definitely stepped up big ups, Michael Vick. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Also, y'all, I also wanted to mention that y'all heard about Jarvis Crittenden, former Georgia Tech player, former Washington Wizards player, who actually
being sucked out for killing a woman. Like, he supposedly he's on the run. He killed someone.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, because remember him and Gilbert Arenas of the Washington Wizards at the time, they were actually suspended for the whole gun in the locker room thing a couple years back.
Yeah, I remember
Well, anyway, dude is on the run. He's actually supposed to be turning himself in tonight, I believe.
Wow.
So I'm like, man.
Supposedly, he killed the wrong person. He was supposed to be killing.
Right.
Supposed to be shooting at somebody else.
It was a drive-by. Yeah.
A drive-by, yeah. I mean, ridiculous.
Right. Right. And I'm like, why is a millionaire athlete, why is anyone doing that?
Exactly.
Let alone a multimillionaire athlete. Why are you in that situation, man? Anyway.
It's our mentality, you know.
Sad. It's sad. So for the families of the young woman that lost her life, you know, I'm sorry for y'all's loss, and I wish all the best. And, dude, just turn yourself in. Right, turn yourself in, deal with it, you know, and try to learn from it or whatever. Anyway, the U.S. Open started tonight. People actually thought that it wasn't because of the hurricane, but it is. Everything's well with that. And that's pretty much the latest on sports, y'all. You know, everything's good, all's well. So follow me, Ron Cosby 1 on Twitter, Ron Cosby 1. And also follow me on Facebook at A. Ron Cosby. And that's my perspective tonight.
Well, appreciate you as always, A. Ron, and I'm glad that you're safe from all the tornadoes and earthquakes and everything else. And I'll have a good night, okay?
All right, y'all. Thank
y'all.
Thanks, A. Ron. All right. Bye.
Now, Janera, she's not on tonight. Ms. Ferguson's not on tonight because she had a previous engagement. However, for her updates, make sure you go on her website, BudgetShopaholic.com, or you can go on our website, thestephenknightshow.webs.com, and there's a link to her page, and find out the latest and the updates on the fashion, and we'll speak with her in a couple weeks. We'll come back.
I see Janera running game, huh?
She running game on us. Yeah, I told her that when she told me she had to be on. But anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Great show, Beyonce.
Thank you.
And you have a concert coming up, too.
I do. You should come by.
Love to.
Just have your people call my people.
Oh, I will. I'm going to have... She wants my people to call her people.
I'm not finished with you. Hello?
Eddie.
Yes.
It's Ellen.
Listen,
I need tickets for Beyonce's concert.
Uh-huh.
You're my people, right?
People. Ellen.
We're like family. Listen, I got to go.
No, I was going to say, I got to go. No, I'm busy. Okay. Got to find my people. Hey, guys. How many persons make up a people? Why can't one person just call one person? Let my people go!
Hey, does anyone know where stage 7 is?
That's it. People that can get me into the shows I want to get into. That's why I'm a card member.
I'm glad you could come.
Oh, yeah, well, I have people, you know.
Let's do lunch.
Okay, we'll do lunch. Great. Have your people call my people.
Are you getting the most out of entertainment? Are you a card member?
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm your co-host, Ms. Parker.
All right, Ms. Parker, before we go on to our segment tonight, with Ms. Weeks, I want to read some of the responses from our question of the day that we had. The question of the day was if you're... significant other, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend. Received an offer to pose nude in a well-known magazine and was offered $100,000 to do so. What would your reaction be? Now, we already heard you say, you know, make that money.
Go ahead.
Crystal Clear said, go for it. Not because of the money. That's not enough. If they're serious about their career, they'll be sacrificed. I will be there to support them. What career?
Pose a nude.
What career is she talking about? Oh, wow. Well. Okay. Carl Grover said that he would drive his girl there. Kato, who singer Kato, who was on here, Kato Reed, who was on here a couple weeks ago, he said, do they need another model? Because I'm in, too. The people at the Choco Bar in Atlanta, they said, what time do you need to be there? Yolanda Evans said, I'll make his appointment to get his hair cut. Ain't nothing like a fresh roundup. Crystal Harda, I think, said two things. I'll make the appointment for you. I'll get a life-size frame one for her bed. Now, Tyrone, who we know, Tyrone Frank.
I don't know why you always reading his stuff.
He said that he would be appalled that they would even think that his significant other would take the offer and consider such trashy, immoral opportunity, especially since he only dates pure, innocent, virgin-like women. But this thread proves how scandalous my friends are and how quick they're to sell their soul for the almighty dollar. And they know shame. Of course, his name's like that.
He's so dramatic.
He said that, and Crystal wrote back, she has no shame at all. Quincy Bond said, get dressed. I'm dropping that A off. Damien said he's been trying to get Maria, his girlfriend, to get. I can't say it all too. Okay. and then one person said that he would have his girl posing at gunpoint to get this money.
In a what?
At gunpoint to get this money. So she didn't want to do it there in the truck.
That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do, because I don't want my girl sprawled out, you know, in front of for everyone to see.
Well, let me just say this. Whoever I'm dating, I'm not asking permission. I'm going to be sprawled out and get my $100,000. It's hard times these days, okay?
I'm trying to...
I don't think it's that big of a deal for women to have their partner, husband, boyfriend.
Right.
I think it'd probably be more of an issue for a guy.
Exactly. I couldn't. Just imagine, every time you walk by a newsstand, you see her sprawled out. She called it a little early earlier, but she's calling back. She had the time mixed up. But today we're doing a show, Ms. Parker, on some abuse related issues. You know, I was reading some information and I thought it would be beneficial to not only myself, my friends, but also to our listeners, because I think when you get information, it's our responsibility to share it, you know, if we think it's beneficial. And just
I think it's a good idea, too, all the alcoholics we know.
Right. Exactly. But it's beneficial because it's information that I think everyone should know.
Very useful.
And Pam herself was saying that she thinks that it's something that should be taught in grade school. Just because it's a lot of stuff that we don't think about. So I'm eager to speak with her a little bit, a few minutes about that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's an important issue, definitely. So.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get into it. Have you ever told yourself that you were only going to have one drink and it led to multiple? Well, maybe you drank or used so much that the next morning you couldn't even remember what you did the night before. Many people all over this world struggle with drug and alcohol-related issues. Most don't even know they have a problem until it's too late. There are many facts that everyday people like you and myself are uneducated about when it comes to these issues. So tonight we welcome Pamela Weeks, who for the past 20 years has studied and educated hundreds of people on addiction and substance abuse related issues. Please help me welcome Ms. Pamela Weeks. How you doing, Ms. Weeks?
Good evening. I'm great. What about you, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Good. It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, Ms. Weeks? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy
Thanks
to be here.
Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Oh, this is my pleasure. I have a great passion with this subject.
Yeah. Well, tell us what sparked your interest and why you wanted to even studied this kind of this topic?
I was raised in an alcoholic family.
Mm.
There was a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
Didn't understand what was going on. And as I grew up, I wanted to know more about it. So 20 years ago, I was singing in a bar one night, and a drummer took off his pants. I knew I was in the wrong place.
Right.
So I had reached out to help others, and there I found my path. I went to the children's hospital, began to sing to the children who had cancer. And people heard my work there, and then they asked me to go into the school systems and do a drug-free program. I was scared.
Wow.
I am not a speaker. But
Right.
Then Buffy was born, a drug-free dog.
Tell us about Buffy. I was reading up on Buffy. Tell us about Buffy.
Thank you. Buffy is a drug-free dog, and Buffy and I go into schools, and we entertain. Buffy gets into trouble. She's hanging out with the wrong crowd, which in our profession we call that social dependence, which has a major influence on people's choices. And so all of the students tell Buffy, you know, she should not make the high-risk choices to use drugs and drink alcohol. So in turn, with Buffy's era and ways and with the music that we have written, the children have a good time, plus hear a very important message as well, which is called Cool as Me, I'm Drug Free.
I like that. Cool as Me, I'm Drug Free.
Yeah.
Now, I read that people who have parents who abuse drugs or alcohol are four more times likely to have those same issues. And why is that?
That is true. Those are genetics. If there is a birth parent with alcoholism, I am four times more likely to develop drug problems when I'm as I grow up. It doesn't mean that I will, but I am at a greater risk.
Okay.
And this is there's a formula that that I actually teach in my class, and it's basically made up of body, brain, and biology. That's a factor that I'm born with. That's something I cannot change, and that's part of that formula.
So body, brain, what is it? Body, brain?
It's called body, brain, and biology.
So what does that mean?
The body, brain, and biology, this is our body, the way it is made up, the way we're born with genetics. And if I'm from an alcoholic family, I could be at four times greater risk. It doesn't mean that I will be. I just have a greater risk. And I think that's good information to have.
Yeah, it does. Well, let's talk about trigger and tolerance levels. First of all, what is a trigger level?
A trigger level, and of course this can be confusing to some people who are in treatment, but as far as the education piece, this is again something that we are born with. This is said by our genetic makeup. And if I'm at a four times greater risk with my family, I may have a lower trigger level. And that's the onset of which addiction can occur. It's just like a thermostat. It's set to kick on at a certain time.
Okay.
At a trigger level, a person at a greater risk may have a lower trigger level. So it's going to take less time of partying before I set that off.
And your tolerance level is, I know a lot of people, they say, you know, I have a high tolerance. Like, I don't feel, it takes a lot to get me, you know, to feel the effects of drinking or, you know, if I'm drinking. And you say that's not a good thing. Why
is that? That is a cruel trick of nature.
Okay.
Because the tolerance, again, relates back to the body-brain biology. This is something that we're born with, and that's the initial tolerance rate. And every time I drink to impairment, that tolerance is raised. It is going up. It is getting closer to my trigger level. So the average arrest for DUI is a 0.15.
Right.
A person with a high tolerance can think they can still drive and have a 0.15, but other people would go to sleep or not be able to function at a 0.15.
Mm. Well,
so
why is
it?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, so if I have a blood alcohol level, that's a sign that I may have a high tolerance.
And so when the tolerance surpasses the trigger level, that's when you really have issues.
Addiction is present then.
Addiction. And we're going to talk about it in a minute when we talk about the different phases. But
Okay. Explain
how can, okay, if I've been drinking,
mm-hmm.
then I feel that I'm fine. I understand that there's a difference because the physical tolerance and the mental tolerance are not equal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. In reality, we have two tolerance levels, and people usually use their physical tolerance level to gauge how much they can handle. But our mental tolerance, this is what we need to respond to emergency situation, occurs at a much lower blood alcohol level. That increases more slowly. So if I rely on my physical rather than my mental tolerance to determine impairment, my risk for problem goes up.
Okay.
By the time I'm stumbling or getting sick, I had been impaired for quite some time. But I didn't.
Wow. Because physically you thought you were okay.
I thought I was okay. Exactly.
Now, there are four phases to drug and alcohol usage. There's phase one, phase two, three, and four. Phase one, what's going on there?
In phase one, my attitude toward alcohol would be take it or leave it. If I'm at an event and it's present, that's okay. And if it's not present, that's okay too.
So it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Not at all. Now, the hallmark of phase one is I am making low-risk choices.
Okay.
You know,
and what do you mean by that?
Well, there are, you know, with the American Heart Association, there are low-risk guidelines to prevent heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
There are low-risk guidelines to prevent addiction. And the hallmark of phase one is low-risk choices. I would make a low-risk choice.
Right.
Because our body can metabolize in half an ounce of alcohol per hour. And then we're not able to have, you know, so there's actually the safe guideline, 0, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Up to two per day, no more than two, but absolutely no more than three on any day, and limit the number to 14 per week. But that has to be a standard drink, which would be a half an ounce of alcohol.
So if I go to the bar and order a Long Island iced tea, that's one drink, right?
I'm afraid not. I think the Long Island iced tea, the standard amount of drinks in a Long Island iced tea is about four drinks. So if I'm stopped on the way home, Mr. Officer, I only had one drink. I'm probably going to blow a lot more than one drink.
Which can be
confusing.
Yeah.
The margaritas, too. That's I think the standard is three with that. It really depends on the recipe at the bar. You know.
And I know that because a lot of the restaurants, any restaurant that you go and you order a glass of wine per se, they're giving you more than what the standard to be in phase one low risk decision is. That correct? They give you more than the standard.
That is correct. If you just pick up a menu at a nice restaurant, the average I think is around 7 ounces, but the standard should be four.
Mm. It's kind of like a setup. So moving on to phase two. Phase two, what's going on in phase two?
Yes. In phase two, I begin to anticipate it. Okay. And what is happening to me, I am making a high-risk choice. This is the hallmark of phase two. I am now making high-risk choices. I may drink or use now any drug usage push me automatically in phase two. Illegal drug use. For drinking, if I'm making a high-risk choice with my drinking, I'm drinking to impairment.
So you're drinking for that. That's why you're drinking.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But every time I become impaired, I am raising my tolerance level up, and therefore I'm getting close to my trigger level. This is just in phase two.
Wow.
So it goes back to the quantity and frequency, how much and how often.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, so what about the person who says, okay, well, I'm not going to drink during the week, but mm-hmm. on the weekend I'm just going to get, you know, fade. I'm going to be in a higher phase. What's the problem there?
Well, the problem is this. I can't save my 14 drinks up for Friday night.
Okay.
Because that is not within the low-risk guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
That high risk amount is going to create issues with health. It's going to create issues with impairment.
Mm-hmm.
I have a wooden leg that my grandfather left me when he passed away, and that's my example of impairment. One afternoon he was cutting grass, and his
mm-hmm.
after drinking a few beers, his foot went under that lawnmower. And
wow.
it cut his foot off at the ankle. And I'm from a little town, Fish Creek, Cedartown, Georgia. They carried him to the small hospital. Dan Green set in. Eventually, they had to amputate above his right below his knee. That was a reminder of that high-risk choice that he made that afternoon. You know, impairment can happen just one afternoon of heavy drinking. So this happens in phase two, and normally the people in phase two, they're only doing it to have a good time.
Now, one thing that I read that was very interesting to me, a lot of people think that addicts, drinking leads to depression.
Oh. Actually, there has been research studies that show with a group of people they studied from Harvard University, it was a group of people they studied over 50 years, and they documented the research with these people in speaking with them before the research actually started to gather all the information, and the result of the research was that they found that people developed alcoholism first, that depression and emotional problems only came as a result afterwards. But beforehand, the data shows that they were normal.
So basically, if I say that I'm just drinking to have a good time with my friends,
mm-hmm.
that can lead to me becoming depressed because after addiction sets in.
Well, if I'm drinking to have fun, regardless of what the reason is, if I drink to impairment,
mm-hmm.
I'm raising that tolerance. And if I continue, because addiction is progression. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a progression. So
not knowing your limits, really.
What's that?
Not knowing your limits.
Well, every time I drink to impairment, it raises the tolerance level up.
Okay.
And this is very high risk for a person that has a high tolerance because they would normally be the designated driver. And
the high tolerance person is usually the one that says, "Oh, I can drive."
Because they are the one left walking, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So phase three, I understand phase three is when things really start getting out of hand because you begin to integrate the drugs or alcohol into your life. You're planning for it. Like, you won't even go to the event unless they have alcohol or drugs.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, it works.
I'd probably call to see if they have any. If not, I'd make arrangements to get it.
Because in phase one, you could live without it. Phase two, okay, you're starting to, you know, come up a little bit, but then phase three is like, okay, I'm not even going to go because I don't have, or I'll bring my own.
Yeah. Absolutely. In phase three, I would begin to look forward to it, okay? You know, in phase one was take it or leave it. In phase two, there's anticipation. There may be even some abstract impairment in that phase two after heavy drinking. But in phase three, that's actually made up of four pieces of the puzzle that create, it's called psychological dependence, which is normal for something that won't hurt us. But when it relates to alcohol and drugs, then it becomes harmful. But a very strong piece of that puzzle is the integration into life.
Right.
It becomes a major part of my life.
I budget so I can make sure I have enough. I know that you said that the friends, like, you begin to see yourself hanging around people that only drink at the level you do or use at the level you do, because someone that's level phase one will get you like, you drink a lot. But when you're doing it with people on the same level, it becomes normal because everyone's doing it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It is normal. Then my high-risk choices are just part of the group. It is accepted.
And then is that where you start seeing enablers?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Because then, you know, the friends may begin to cover for me why I can't go to work or how the car got smashed in.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so then obviously the final phase is phase four. Well, before we go to phase four, we start seeing blackouts in phase three. And what's a blackout?
Absolutely. Well, blackouts is this is where it doesn't mean that a person passes out, okay? It's alcohol-induced amnesia. So a person may not remember going to the party or how they got home because that is not stored in the long-term memory. But what is happening here is there are chemical changes that are taking place in the brain. Also part of that puzzle, the integration into life, is going to be the state-dependent learning skills. Whenever I become the best pool player or the best singer or the best dancer in that state-dependent, and then I begin to develop that sense of relationship with my substance, and I'm going to protect my choices. If I'm in that social-dependent group, it is all normal.
Right.
Of course, I may begin to have blackouts, and I don't remember how I got home or what went on at the party. And this is just in phase three.
That's phase three. And it's not even addiction.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah, okay.
But this is where people have accidents and injure themselves or kill other people.
Fall. Yeah.
They do not have any memory of it.
So state-dependent learning, that's if I can really dance when I'm drunk, but I can't dance when I'm not. Like, I'm the life of the party when I'm drunk, but when I'm not, I'm reserved. And that's things that you can only do during that period?
Yes. As the blood alcohol level is increasing, there's a window there called state-dependent learning. And I've heard people make reference to it as liquid courage.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then the social skills get caught up there. So a person may not be comfortable when they're sober, and as far as making friends or playing pool, which can be uncomfortable just in phase three.
Wow. So then I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and here, with the blackout, I may begin to drink to cure a hangover, too.
So what do you mean drink to cure? Like, if I wake up the next morning and I'm feeling like I have a hangover, because I've heard people say the best way to get over a hangover is to keep drinking. That's dangerous, right? Very dangerous.
Exactly. Well, it's, because this is... while drinking the morning after making high-risk choices can ease some of the hangover symptoms, it's an indication that the high-risk choices are pushing that progression.
So if we go to phase four, that's when we're actually becoming an addict. And that's when we start making excuses like, I only drink on the weekends, or I only drink after 5 o'clock, I won't drink. And we start making rules around what we do because for ourselves it justifies it. But I remember you said you don't make rules for something that's not a problem. You don't set boundaries for something that's not a problem.
Right. Because what happens is people begin to develop, it's called psychological defenses.
Mm-hmm.
They would begin to protect. Just as you know, if you have a lover or a friend who's not accepted at an event or a family gathering, would you carry them?
Hmm.
So if this relationship is being developed with a substance, you know, the person may become more isolated. They will begin to defend it.
Right, right. So, good. I'm sorry. I mean,
I was just going to say, because what happened is, you know, there's been a progression that has pushed me through the phases,
mm-hmm.
and now there's a trigger level that has been crossed.
Yeah, and once that's crossed, you're an addict.
The only low risk choice for me once I pass a trigger level is total abstinence. The hallmark of addiction is loss of control and varying degrees of withdrawal. And loss of control doesn't mean doing silly things while intoxicated. It just means
right. If
I open a bottle of wine and say, I'm going to have a glass of wine, but I can't stop until it's gone,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm looking for more, that's loss of control. What happens is I lose that internal voice inside of me that says, Pam, stop.
That's enough.
That's
enough.
That voice is now silent.
And you said, and I know you said that the only cure is to abstain, and because an addict can go a week without drinking, they can go a month without drinking, but it's once they have that first glass or that first cup, they don't know when to stop. They don't know about their limits. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, correct. Recovery is wonderful. People live, you know, they're able to go for months without drinking, otherwise they would not survive. But the hallmark is that loss of control, not being able to have just one drink or two drinks, the loss of control.
So if you're in phase 2 and 3, you can always come back to phase 1. Is that correct?
You can come back to phase 1. Absolutely. If I stop using, then the body can recover. A lot of the health issues that happen, the pancreatitis, ulcers, a lot of that is reversible and with
right.
the brain changes also. And that's the wonderful news about phase 3. And that is a critical point. It's like coming to a cliff. You know, either I'm going to turn around and go back down or I'm going to jump off. But I cannot stand there forever. I have to make a choice.
Right,
and
right.
By default, if I don't make a choice to turn back around, I will progress into phase 4. But a lot of people don't even realize when they're in phase 4. They don't even realize that their body is going through the withdrawal, because that tolerance, that body has been adapting to that tolerance, trying to balance the body out so it can handle the alcohol. And a person may go through the withdrawals and not even realize it. It could be nothing less than what a smoker would actually experience when they try to stop smoking cigarettes.
The withdrawals that they would have.
Absolutely, yeah. I was going to ask you,
do you, in your opinion, do you think that most addicts actually know they're addicts, even if they don't admit it? Are they, and most of them in denial?
Actually, because of the psychological defenses, and because of the brain changes, there's things going on subconsciously.
Okay.
They may say, oh, I can handle this, you know, just this one time won't hurt me. There's all this self-talk that is going on. There's something that I teach in class called the spiral, because once a person continues in the progression, that tolerance has been going up, going up, going up, and then for the first time, that tolerance level begins to come down. It becomes erratic. So, because what is happening is the body is breaking down. It can no longer tolerate the alcohol or the drugs as it once did. Sometimes my normal use is going to produce good feelings. Sometimes It will not. And if I continue with that, then I'll get caught up in this spiral.
The body will continue to break down on you?
Yeah. The body is breaking down. I had a client once. He said, I could drink 49 beers before I passed out.
Wow.
But he said, once I got in a spiral, I could drink one and pass out. But he said, I never knew what I was going to do. I never knew.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does the media play a role in this?
A major role. They spend billions of dollars each year to play to the heaviest user. That is their best consumer.
Yeah.
All the commercials on TV are just full of beautiful people having a wonderful
time. Having a great time.
Making high-risk choices. Is that deceiving?
Yeah.
Every time I see those flaming burgers on TV, I want one, especially if it's 12
right.
o'clock at night. You know?
Yeah.
I know what the 24-hour windows are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the same premise.
So, and even the media, even to the person, they may think to themselves, I might have a problem. They kind of play to that, they cater to that person as well.
It is normal. Everybody drinks like that.
Everyone's partying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just part of the social dependent group. They minimize the dangers of the high risk choice.
Well, let me ask you, for someone who is listening tonight who may be struggling with addiction based on the information we discussed tonight, what can they do to seek help?
They can get an evaluation. You know, in healthcare, we all get numbers for things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talented people out there who can do an assessment. And then if I felt I had any issues with it, that is what I would do. You know, it is unfortunate. I teach the risk reduction class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great information out there. To my knowledge, it's the only prevention curriculum that's made available to people, but they would normally not get that information unless they have a DUI.
Okay. Okay.
So the information would be helpful if I thought I had an issue is to locate a clinical evaluator, go in for an assessment, and see what they think. There is beautiful treatment out there. There's beautiful help with recovery, AA, NA. Doctors have medication that can also help with the cravings, because once I'm in that phase four, because of the changes in the brain, we actually refer to it as a hijacked brain, and then there's a battle that is going on inside the brain, and in stages three and four, it may be helpful to get counseling.
If you're in phase three and four?
Yes.
Three or four?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, especially in phase three, you know, because the people who stop in that phase and let the body recover can normally go back to phase one. But
right.
And 50% of the people do that. 50% of the people recover, according to research. But then there's another 50% that does not recover. And of course, anyone who would like to contact me, depending on what area, location, we can find treatment providers. NADAC is the organization that I am licensed with, and I got my license in South Korea and applying for the reciprocity in Georgia. But there's a lot of talented people here who are ready to help. But, of course, if I'm in that phase in three, that decision has to be mine. It can't be my mom, my daddy's, or my friend.
Right.
I have to do something, because In my class, I teach the formula. There's body-brain biology, which I have no control over. But the magic piece of the formula is my choice.
Right.
And that equals my outcome.
Yeah. So is there a website? Do you have a website?
Yes. I do. I have PamandBuffy.com.
Okay.
Which you can go on there. My email is pam@pamandbuffy.com. And
okay.
Do you want a phone number? Or?
Well, what I can do is I actually have your contact information in terms of your email and your website, and I'll definitely post that on our website and on our Facebook page.
That would be great.
I really appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing information. I agree with you that it should be taught at an early age to people, you know, so they have this, because it's very, I think it's critical, because a lot of us don't think that we can drink the party and it lead to addiction, you know.
It's true. Yes, it can happen to anybody who makes high-risk choices. Red Ribbon Week is coming up in October, so this is the awareness campaign that was in the schools that I started with 20 years ago, so I do hope that all of your listeners will help us celebrate this with the children in the community and create a partnership to create that awareness.
Wow. Absolutely. Red Ribbon Week, you said?
Yes, it is Red Ribbon Week. It's the end of the month, and every child in Georgia celebrates that.
Wow.
They've had budget cuts. I toured in the schools for 15 years, and all the budget cuts changed. It really changed my course, but I feel like I'm where I need to be. I was working with Executive Leadership Foundation, and he said to me, Pam, if you want to help the kids, help their parents. And
help
I
the
heard
parents.
That.
Yeah.
And I began this journey 5 years ago so I could be in a position to just help make a difference.
Wow. Well, we thank you so much for all that you do, and definitely thank you for coming on and sharing this critical information. And you have a good night, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for your interest, and blessings to you.
Absolutely. Blessings to you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, for more information about for more information about substance abuse related issues, please go to our website. You can contact Pam directly via email. We'll have that on our website and on Facebook. And if you think that you do have a problem, don't be afraid to get help, because your life can be a lot better without those issues. You can come back and you can go on and have a happy life. So thank you again.
Yeah,
and,
that was a very informative show.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Stuff that you just didn't think about, you know?
I was listening really hard, taking notes.
Well, we thank you all for listening, and thank you this week's again, and we'll be right back.
While you're sitting there on the couch wondering what you're going to do today, grab that remote and turn your TV to MTV, your most popular way to stay on top of all music, shows, news, and movies. MTV is greatly known for their highly viewed shows such as MTV Cribs, Jersey Shore, The Grudge, 16 and Pregnant, Maid, My Life is Liz, and many, many more. MTV also gives you the option to check out video premieres on your favorite artists such as Trey Songz, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, and many more artists of your choice. Stay connected with MTV through your social media networks. Twitter, follow MTV. Facebook, www.facebook.com/MTV. MySpace, www.myspace.com/MTV. Also by MTV newsletters and podcasts. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to go on to Stephen's playlist. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country who want to be featured during this segment. Each week we select artists to play on our list. Tonight our playlist features songs of both major and independent artists, as always, including Phoenix, Bruno Mars, and Kelly Rowland, and many, many more.
If you think you make good music and you're interested in being featured on the Stephen Knight Show playlist, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com. Attach one of two songs, your bio, one of two promotional photos. Make sure that your music is edited and ready to be played on the radio, no curse words. And please Send us good stuff.
Right. we definitely want to encourage you. I've been going through a lot of music. I've heard a lot of good music. I've heard some, you know.
Not so good.
But the first song is by Stilly, who's been on the show before. His single, Two-Way Street. Check it out and enjoy Stephen Playlist.
Same. your favorite line, but finding wifey ain't no easier. What am I supposed to do? Shawty got me so confused. I'm second guessing what I see. And I hope I find her in this club. Looking out from the VIP, searching for a man like me.
But it ain't easy
finding her.
As I want to
win the third, cause I believe
that one day
we will meet, and we'll step to a love song. Go home and make love to the same song.
We'll take a flight to the moon.
Love I found in you, girl. You want me.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed our playlist. I want to thank you again for tuning in. I want to thank our special guest, Ms. Pamela Weeks, for coming in and sharing information on substance abuse and alcohol-related issues. Please remember, if you think that you might have a problem or even want to, if you think you have a problem, that's an indication that you might. But if you make sure you share the information you learn, because the information is powerful and can help somebody else live a better life and not be addicted. No one wants to be addicted to anything. So, Ms. Parker, what's your week looking like?
I'm looking forward to the three-day weekend. Counting these days down.
Yes, yes. And we're not going to be in any kind of phases. We'll be in phase one this weekend, huh?
Speak for yourself.
No. But listen,
it's
going to
be a whole bunch of phase four. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not
funny. I was going to say, next week,
we're going to have the show I mentioned earlier. We're going to do the show with Donald Ross, and we'll re-air that because it's a holiday. I hope you all have a very safe holiday weekend, a great week.
Yes, please stay safe.
And we will see you again in 2 weeks. Have a great
Thanks
week.
Thanks for listening.